thank the boys and girls for taking part. It was really good. We really enjoyed them. And I think they deserve another round of applause tonight. Well, that was really, really good. And really good singing and speaking. And I'm telling you, with these singers and speakers, Reverend Higginson and me will watch out. We could lose our job. Can I just say about that CD, I was asked by a charity to make a CD, and we called it Hymns of Faith and of the Family. And then we had my grandchildren and myself there singing along with us some of the hymns. And then the Kingdom Heirs Gospel Group, my son and my son-in-law there in that group, they sang a piece on it for us. And my other son-in-law, Jonathan Logan, he sang a piece on it. And we had a good day yesterday. We were up at Stormont. And I thought to myself, well, nobody else is using it at the minute. So we had the great hall in Stormont yesterday afternoon. And we had about 180 people there yesterday afternoon. Then last night, over 200 people there. And we had a great day. And the charity has already given over, I think it's £2,500 to the air ambulance. And we had an offering yesterday in the afternoon at night, and that came to another £3,100. And then as well as that, we sold £1,000 of the CDs. So all the money goes to the air ambulance, and we think that's a good cause. We have taken part. We have other DVDs and CDs, and we did them for the Deborah House, the orphanage, and other things that are missionary work. But we thought it's good to help out even in the wider community in which we live, because we're very thankful that we have now the air ambulance here in Northern Ireland. But it's really good to be with you today. And again, I thank the Reverend Roger Higginson very much for those words of welcome. And it's good to see all the boys and girls back again tonight. And hope they've got good memories, because I'm going to say, hello, boys and girls. Hello. Oh, the memory was just fading there because they're getting tired. They've worked so hard today singing, and they've been working hard at practicing right up to this time. So we'll try it again. Hello, boys and girls. Hello. Oh, now we're going. One more. Hello, boys and girls. Hello. That's good. Now we'll try this memory verse we had this morning. And we'll say it nicely tonight. We'll pretend we're in an elocution contest or a verse-speaking contest. And we'll say it. Ready? After two. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's good. We'll try it again. You ready? One, two. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Times are bad, even in the national health. So we're going to give you an eye test for free. So put your right hand over your right eye and look up here at Uncle Fred and see if you can see this. You ready? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now take your right hand away. Now put your left hand up to your left eye. That's good. The other left. Right, you ready? Ready? One, two. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's very, very good. Now, once more, without covering our eyes, we'll just say it nice and softly, and then we'll fold our arms, and we'll get ready for a short story from God's Word. You ready? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's really, really good. You know, boys and girls, I heard about two wee boys. They were great friends, great chums, and they went out one day. There was a wood very close to where they lived, and they went out into the woods for a walk, and they were supposed to come home for 5 o'clock for to have their tea. And the boys were out, and you know, they got lost. Because when they were coming back, it seemed to be that there was a big path going this way, and there was another wee narrow path going that way, and they stood, and they thought, well, we'll go down this way, or will we go down that way? Which way will we go? And they debated a wee while, and then they said, well, we'll go on the big wide path, and maybe we'll get home quickly. And they got on the big wide path, and they walked as fast as they could, and they realized the more they walked, they were getting further and further away from, and had to turn around and come back again. And they said, well, it must be the other path then. And they went the other path, and sure enough, when they went the other path, they weren't very long, and they were home. And Mommy, she was out looking at her watch. And, you know, when the preacher's preaching, the people are looking at their watch. Mommy was out looking at her watch, and she was, well, I wonder where them boys are. And they came, oh, Mommy, they said we got lost. We got lost away there in the woods, and we took the wrong path. And then we had to come back and get on the right path until we came home again. Well, we heard this morning about a sheep that was lost, and tonight I want to tell you about a man who was lost. And sometimes when we think about a man who was lost, we might say, well, you might say, Uncle Fred, was this man a very, very wicked man? Did he do some terrible things? Well, he did. But you know, boys and girls, he was also a very, very religious man. And he went, the Bible says, his name was Saul of Tarsus, and he went to the high priest in Jerusalem, and he asked him, could I have letters of authority that I can go down to the city of Damascus, and I can bring the people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tie them up, I can bring them back and put them into jail, and maybe even put some of them to death because they believe in Jesus. You see, Saul of Tarsus, he was a very, very religious man, but he didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And he hated the people who did say that and who did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, there was a man called Stephen, and he was stoned to death because he was a Christian. And we call him a martyr. And Stephen was stoned to death. And this man, Saul of Tarsus, he stood by and he minded the coats, the cloaks of the people who were stoning Stephen to death. So he really, really hated Christians, people who were called the people of the way. So he set out on the road to Damascus, a long journey away from Jerusalem. And he set out with some friends, maybe some very rough soldier type men that would go down with him, and they would catch the Christians and bring them back, because he now had the authority. He had the letters. He was allowed to do this. And they made their way toward the great city of Damascus. But boys and girls, on the last day of their journey, when they're coming toward the city of Damascus, it was about midday, and all of a sudden there was a light, and the light shone from heaven, and it was even brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul of Tarsus, he fell from off the beast that he was riding, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And boys and girls, the person that Saul didn't believe in, the person Saul hated and persecuted his followers, he was speaking to Saul of Tarsus. And it's what we call one of the double calls in the Bible, when the Lord Jesus called him by his name, and he called him twice. He said, "Saul, Saul." No, boys and girls, Saul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew that day the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He knew that the one that he thought that crucified him and put him in a tomb, and he said he didn't really rise again. He maybe thought people stole his body away. He maybe made a whole lot of excuses, but he realized that day Jesus was alive, and he called him Lord. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And you, boys and girls, the man who came down to Damascus and he was going to persecute the people, he was going to put them in jail, they had to lead him away by the hand. Because after this great light shone from heaven, he couldn't see. And he was blinded. And they had to lead him by the hand. And they took him to a street in Damascus. It was called Straight Street. And there was a house there. The man's name who owned the house was Judas. And they took him to the house of Judas in Straight Street. And the Bible says for 3 days he didn't eat, he didn't drink, but he prayed. He prayed. And he continued to pray because he knew he had heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him. You know, boys and girls, we heard this morning when we talked about the sheep that was lost, that the shepherd loved the sheep that was lost. And that's why the shepherd left the 99 safe in the sheepfold and went after the sheep that was lost, because he loved the sheep. And you know, boys and girls, the good shepherd loved Saul of Tarsus. Even though Saul was a blasphemer, that's what he called himself. He says, "I was a blasphemer." And even though Saul was a persecutor, that's what he called himself when he gave his testimony. He says, "I was a blasphemer, and I was a persecutor of God's people." And he says, "I was injurious." In other words, I injured the people, the church of Christ. But yet the Lord loved them. The Lord loved them. And God loves you and me. And you might say, "Well, Uncle Fred, I've never persecuted Christians. I never put anybody in jail." But you know, we're just like Saul of Tarsus. We don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're without him. And the Bible says, all of us, every one of us, men and women, boys and girls, we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And lo, Saul was physically blinded. The old devil, the god of this world, he has men and women and boys and girls spiritually blind, lest the light of the gospel should shine in to their hearts. But when Saul was in the house of Judas and he was praying and he didn't eat or he didn't drink, God spoke to another man, and this man's name was Ananias. And he lived away in another part of the city. And God said, "Ananias, I want you to go to Straight Street. And I want you to go into the house of Judas. And there's a man there called Saul. And I want you to lay your hands on him. And immediately you lay your hands on Saul, he will receive his sight and he will be filled with the Holy Ghost." And Ananias, he was afraid because he heard how much Saul had persecuted God's people. And he said, "Lord, do you not know? Do you not know how much he persecutes your people?" And the Lord said, "Ananias, I know all about him. But I have made him a chosen vessel. And I'm going to use him. And I have a great plan. I have a great purpose for his life. And he's going to stand before kings. and stand before judges, and he's going to preach to the people, both the Jews, but particularly to the Gentiles, and I'm going to send him. I have a great plan for his life. And so Ananias went, and Ananias laid hands on Saul, and Ananias called him, "Brother Saul, Brother Saul." And Saul received his sight. He received his sight. And boys and girls, the man who came down to Damascus to persecute the people of God, he went out into the open air, and he stood in the open air, and he preached, and he told everybody how he met the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him, and how he was now a Christian, and how he now loved the Savior. And boys and girls, when we read in our New Testament the life story of Saul of Tarsus, and he became Paul the great apostle, we read about him taking great missionary journeys. We read about him standing before kings and judges, and no matter where he went, it didn't matter whether there were thousands or maybe there was just one or two, he always told them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was now a Christian. You see, when Saul of Tarsus was going down that big road to Damascus and he met the Lord Jesus, he was turned around. He was turned around. And when the Bible preaches and talks about repentance and that men and women and boys and girls need to repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus, it means that they are turned around. By nature, we're born, we're walking, as it were, on the great broad road of life. And the Bible says that there's a broad road and it leads to destruction. But when we come to Jesus, the one who died on the cross of Calvary and took all our sins, and he bled for them, and he suffered, and he died for you and for me. When we come to Jesus, we get off the broad road, we get on the straight road, the narrow road that leads to heaven and to home. And we're turned around. And you know, boys and girls, that happened to Saul of Tarsus 2,000 years ago. And yet today, in our world, you can hear sometimes on the television, you can read it in the newspapers, if someone changes their mind, it may be a politician, it may be a great businessman, it may be a sportsman, it may be some TV personality or movie star, but if they change their mind on something, the world says they had a Damascus Road experience. And they're talking about this experience that Paul had. But Paul was saved on the Damascus Road. Paul was changed, and he started out for heaven and for home. You know, boys and girls, sometimes we boys and girls say to me, "Uncle Fred, is there anything that I can do? If I become a Christian, can I do something for the Lord Jesus?" Well, here's the hands are clasped in prayer. And boys and girls, isn't it good that boys and girls can pray? And isn't it a wonderful thing that in history we read about even the great 1859 revival and how they had prayer meetings and they asked the boys and girls to pray because boys and girls can pray in simple childlike faith. And here's a boy, and he's got a copy of the Bible, the Word of God. When we talk to God, we pray. When God wants to speak to us, he speaks to us through his Word, the Bible. And then here's a boy, and he's talking to his friend. You know what he's telling him? He's telling his friend, "Oh, just a few weeks ago at the children's mission, I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus. I'm a new creature. I am changed. I am turned around." He's telling his friend, I got saved. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he was a witness. A witness. And boys and girls can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God loves men and women. And he loves boys and girls. And God has a plan for your life. And it doesn't matter all the plans and maybe the dreams that you have, and they may be wonderful. But boys and girls, if you come to the Lord Jesus and you ask him to bless you and to use you and to lead you, the plan that he has for your life is far above everything else. I said this morning about the wee girl got saved as a little girl of 5, became a doctor, became a missionary doctor, Mary Slessor. Isn't it wonderful what God can do with a man or woman or a boy or girl who yields their life to him? And it's our prayer that as you have learnt the Word of God in Sunday school and in the children's meetings, that you will come as a little child, just as Samuel came to the Lord Jesus. God called Saul and he said, "Saul, Saul." And away in the Old Testament, wee Samuel was lying in his bed, sleeping, and he heard a voice, "Samuel, Samuel." The Lord spoke to him, and he got saved, and he became a prophet, and he became a judge over the people of Israel. God had a great plan for his life. And it's our prayer that God will save boys and girls, men and women, even in our meeting tonight, and that they might know his blessing in the days that lie ahead. So thank you very much, boys and girls, for listening so well to the story tonight. And we're going to ask our brother John to come just now, please. Thank you.